ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Our most worshipable spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, brought this movement of Krishna Bhakti to the Western countries. In the 1960s in America, the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada would go in the streets with dhotis and saris and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is the Yuga Dharma, Harinama Sankirtan. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnum Traitayo Yajato Makai Dwapare Paricharyaryam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. I'll say it in English. In the Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, or the proper process of performing dharma for this age is Hari Kirtan, Hari Sankirtan. In previous ages, there was in the Krita Yoga or Satya Yoga, there was Vishnu Dhyanam, was the Yoga Dharma. In the Treta Yoga, the performance of Yajna. And in the Dwarpa Yoga, the Archan Vidhi was the main process. But in America in the 1960s, no one knew what was Yoga or Dharma or Krishna or Dhoti or Sari or Sankirtan. They knew nothing of these things. Srila Prabhupada, by great effort, conviction, by great purity, great subservience to his own guru, he was able to convince some American people to chant Hare Krishna. When I said that there were people in dhotis and saris chanting Hare Krishna, you may think, well, they're Indian people. They were American people. A common response to the people of America seeing this for the first time was to say that these people are crazy. If someone does something which is completely unusual, completely unprecedented, which appears to have no benefit or meaning, people will call it crazy. If someone would walk down the street in Bangalore going, oh hoo ha hee hoo hey ha hey, and they went out and did this every day, you know how to translate that?
Okay.
People would think he's crazy. No. Ah, hoo, hoo. You have to do the All movements, yes. So you're all laughing because it's meaningless. So in the same way, many people laughed at the first devotees of Krishna because they, what is it, banging some drums and singing some funny noises. What is this? Har, har, hori, hoo, hoo, hoo. Croc, croc, croc. What's that? They never heard of any such thing. And even if you thought they might be somewhat sane because they were, they're doing some, maybe they like some different kind of music, but this funny style of dressing, a funny hairstyle, they must be crazy. If anyone thought, well, maybe they're not crazy, let's ask them. And they talked to our devotees. And then our devotees told them that, yes, we chant Hare Krishna and we rise every morning before 4 o'clock and we don't eat meat, we don't drink wine, we don't have illicit sex, we don't have intoxication, we don't go to cinemas. They said, definitely, absolutely certain, they're completely crazy. Yeah, you translated intoxication as madhyapana. But that's only one kind of intoxication. If we say in Bangalore today, no coffee, people will think crazy. That's also one kind of intoxication. Nasa?
Nasha.
Now you're just wondering whether you should leave. If I stay too long in this Upanyasam, they might convince me to stop drinking coffee. Maybe you better leave now. Feeling very nervous now. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada was a great Vaishnava Acharya. In many ways, he taught differently to previous Vaishnava Acharyas. Because he taught in a completely different environment and ethos. The message he taught was the same, but the manner in which he had to present it was somewhat different. I'll try to explain to you some example, but because the culture there is so different, it might be a little difficult to explain it. Many people in that time in America, they were called hippies. Hippies were young people who had rejected the money culture of America. But it's not that they'd all become great rishis or any such thing, but they were very interested in intoxication, especially narcotic drugs. I don't know how you'll say that in Canada. You, that's up to you. You have to translate it. There must be someone for it. They're kind of drugs, illegal drugs, which produces hallucinations. So, the period when someone is under the influence of that drug, they call that being high, because you have a feeling like you have very high consciousness. Actually, it's not high consciousness. It's Maya on top of Maya. It's anyway we're in illusion in Maya, and then you get more illusion with the drug, but they call that being high. So one way that Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, he said to the hippies that Krishna consciousness means to stay high forever. Because when you take the drug, you get high and then you become low again. Actually, we're always low in this material world, and taking drugs means to become lower, but because their consciousness is upside down, they think it's becoming high. So you can understand that maybe from this little example you can understand what a completely different cultural context Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness in. Here in India, despite India today being so much influenced by Kali Yuga, Bangalore is in hot competition with Bombay and Delhi for being the most degraded city in India. But still, when there's some spiritual discourse, people like yourself, pious people, will come. But you are very kindly give me such nice respect. But there's no such culture in America. If Srila Prabhupada had stayed in India, he could go from place to place and speak on Krishna Bhakti, and people will just like, very kindly, I was welcomed here. So it would be very nice, but he had a mission. He was ordered by his guru to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world.
Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, our one day,
He was there in New York City, and at that time he had no big organization, no money, no disciples with him. So he stayed in the worst part of the city. In the area where all the people who were completely intoxicated on wine and alcohol, they would stay there, and they would fall down in the street. In India also you see people, they drink and they fall down in the street. There's one whole area where you You have to, just like in Bangalore when you're driving, you have to drive around the potholes. So, in many roads. So in this area, you'd have to, when you're walking, you have to walk around all the drunken people who are on the road. Actually, when he came to America, all the president, all the biggest people in the country, they should have welcomed him, but they had no such idea. Srila Prabhupada later said that if they actually knew what I was coming to teach, they would not have allowed me to come at all. If they knew that I'm coming, I want to close all these slaughterhouses and all the stop all the intoxication and drinking alcohol and factories, all these things not necessary. Just live simply and chant Hare Krishna. This is Prabhupada's message. They would never allow me to come. On the order of his guru, Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness, starting with great difficulty. The first people who came to him, they had no idea of any culture. So in the building they were staying in, they made an ashram. There's one shower. So in the morning, Prabhupada would have to wait in the line for the shower behind all the young boys. And in the beginning, he would cook, Srila Prabhupada, he would cook everything, all the prasadam. He would serve it, and they'd say, "Thank you very much, Swamiji," and go away, and he would have to wash all the pots and the plates and everything himself. And gradually, some of the people came to understand that, well, we should also try to help and do some service. Srila Prabhupada, he preached very successfully in the Western countries. By presenting Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Of course, there are various ways in which people in the Western countries became attracted to Krishna Bhakti. The Krishna Prasad was a very attractive feature. But as I said, the hippies, they had rejected the money culture, that we should just work hard and get money and then get more money and then get more money. They'd rejected that. But because they had no higher principle, then they just sunk into degraded life of illicit sex and intoxication. But Srila Prabhupada, he taught that real life begins with understanding who we are.
ನಮ್ಮ ನಿಜವಾದ ಜೀವನ ಯಾವಾಗ ಪ್ರಾರಂಭವಾಗುತ್ತೆ ನಾನು ಯಾರು ಅಂತ ನಾವು ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಮಾಡ್ತೇವೆ ಅವರು.
We cannot be satisfied with money, we cannot be satisfied with sex or drugs either.
ನಾವು ಹಣದಿಂದ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಭೋಗದಿಂದ ಮೈಗಳಿಗೆ ಭೋಜನದಿಂದ ನಾವು ಆನಂದವಾಗಿರಲು ಸಾಧ್ಯವಿಲ್ಲ.
Because this is all external to the position of the jiva. So by speaking the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada convinced people to dedicate themselves to Krishna consciousness. The first point that Bhagavan Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita is to differentiate the temporary body from the eternal jivatma.
Bhagavad Gita is Krishna modalne paatha enandre namma dehavanna anityavada dehavanna shashvatavada atma jothege pratyekavada pratyeka madu
dehino smanyatha dehe kaumarang yovanam jara tata dehantara praptihi. That the body begins as a baby body, it develops to an adult body, becomes an old body. These are changes going on. The final change of the body is means changing body. We go to another body. There is deha, body, and dehi, who is the owner of the body. This was actually unknown in the Western countries. And it may be, you may be surprised to hear this, but this is also largely unknown even in India. We may say, well, Indians, Hindus, they all accept this. Punarjanmavada, they call it, reincarnation. Hindus, Jains, Buddhists, Sikhs, they all accept this. But they accept it just because, well, we're Hindus and we believe that, that's all. But they only have a very vague idea of how this is going on. There's some vague idea that if you do something good in future, you'll get a good birth. If you do something bad, you'll get a bad reaction. But the illusion of being of this material world is identification with the body. If we know that we are going from body to body to body, we should understand that this body is not me. It's just a temporary receptacle which I am presently in. But the illusion of this material world is that whatever body we are in, we think this is me. So if we say, for instance, Mera Bharat Mahan, that means we think that I am a part of this country because I am in this body, which means that we don't understand even the first teachings of Bhagavad Gita. If we think, or if we conduct our lives in a manner, think as if we think that we shall be happy by living in this world, then we don't understand the first teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada, he preached Krishna bhakti all over the world, particularly on the basis of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Now the external affairs minister of India has stated that Bhagavad Gita should be made the national book. Antarashtriya Mantrini. Mantrini, no? She's female. Yeah. She has said that the it should be the Rashtriya Pustakam. But she's the Antarashtriya Mantrini. She should be the Sarva Rashtriya. Sarva Dev. It's for everyone. It's not only for India. It's for everyone. It's a good idea that this knowledge should be preached from India. But Krishna doesn't say in Bhagavad Gita that people born in India or Hindus, they go from body to body to body. This is a fact for everyone. If someone say, well, I'm a Muslim or I'm a Christian, so we don't get future birth, the Hindus, they get future birth. But it doesn't depend on our belief. If we get body after body after body, as Krishna Bhagavan teaches in Bhagavad Gita, that's a fact. We can't change it. Or if, as is stated in some religious teachings, there's only one life, then we can't change that either. So we should really try to find out what is the fact. It doesn't depend upon our belief. Often people ask me, do you believe there is future life, reincarnation? And I reply, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. I am not the controller of the universe. The universal laws are going on. I am under their jurisdiction. So we should try to find out what is the fact. That's very important, isn't it? What could be more important than this, to understand our eternal position? I had not been raised in the Western countries at that time. I have not heard even about the idea of being reborn until I was in my teens, early teens. I must have been 13, 14, something like that. According to the Christian religion which I was raised, when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. So I had two choices, either to believe that or not believe it. There are many atheists also say, no, that's all rubbish. When you die, it's all finished. There's nothing. So I couldn't work it out. I thought, yeah, well, there must be God, and God is very good and He's very kind. But if we make a mistake in this lifetime, we have to go to hell forever. I couldn't understand how a kind God would do that. But then when I heard that there's birth after birth, then I understood, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. God gives us chances, more chances. Just like my own father, he's a nice man. He's not God. But if I do something wrong, he'll punish me. Then again, he'll give me another chance. And even he'll punish me again and again and again, still he'll go on giving more chances. So this made sense to me, that God will give us many chances. So Srila Prabhupada explained this in great detail from Bhagavad Gita. This point, dehino smenyat hage dehe, that we're, the body is changing, but we are not changing. It's a very good example to explain that we are not the body. If you're 50 years old and you see a photograph of yourself at 5 years old and at 15 years old and at 25 years old, you can recognize, oh, that was me. But if you look in the mirror, it's not the same. And how is it me? And actually, according to medical science, every 7 years, all the cells in the body are changed. All the time, we take in some air, and there's some reaction, and then we breathe out, and we take in some food. Some of it comes into the system, some is passed out as malmutra, stool and urine, some is passed out as perspiration, some is passed out as mucus. And in this way, different chemicals come into into the body and come out of the body. So the chemicals, actually we're changing body even within this body. So, if I'm 50 years old, what I was at 5 years old, the body is changed several times. And the mentality is also changing. So what stays the same? That is the constant factor is the person. Life, jiva.
Jiva
means jivan, there's life. If a baby, sometimes a baby is stillborn, that means dead baby, born dead. Means nine months in the womb, it's been developing, but during birth, the pressure and everything dies in birth. Now the stillborn baby and the live-born baby, all the same chemicals, all the same organs, everything is the same. One is alive, one is dead. So the live baby grows, but the dead baby doesn't. Why is that? The chemicals are the same. Because the jiva has left the body, then jivan has left the body. When the jiva leaves the body, the jiva remains alive, but not in that body. Another example Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita for us to understand. Vasam si jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnati navani dehi tatha sharirani navani anyani sanyati navani dehi. That just like this cloth, when it gets old, you throw it away and get some new cloth. So the body is like a covering for the soul. So when it gets old and worn out, then you get another one. Now, in the modern age, people are not, they Bhagavad Gita, that's for old people. We are very modern, we believe in science. Well, in the 20th century, there was a scientist who dedicated his whole life to studying, is reincarnation a fact or not, by scientific methods. And by scientific methods, he came up with hundreds of examples of cases which could not be explained in any other way than by reincarnation. For instance, a child is born in one country, but they can speak perfectly some obscure dialect which is already lost from some hundreds of years ago from another country. And they can explain all what life was like at that time. And there are so many examples. A young boy, 3 years old, can play the piano perfectly. The best explanation, you can't give any other explanation. It must be because in the previous life, the person had that ability and that's come through to this life. So, if we want to take a scientific approach, then we should accept reincarnation as a fact. But scientists, they're not always very scientific, unfortunately. And they don't want to, even though there's all scientific evidence, they don't want to accept it. Because then all the evolutionary theory, all that would have to be thrown out. Another case in point is that scientists are looking for one theory to explain everything. Well, there's one very good theory to explain everything, is that there is this supreme God who made everything and who controls everything. Otherwise, it's impossible to explain how the whole universe is going on in such order. So if people are actually scientific, they should accept there's a supreme controller. But unfortunately, the understanding of God has become so mixed up with so many very strange ideas that many people even though intellectually it makes sense to accept that there is God, they don't like to accept it. The Srila Prabhupada, one reason for his great success in the Western countries was that he was able to explain Krishna consciousness in a scientific, logical manner that people, they could accept intellectually also. And actually this Vedic knowledge can give light on all facets of knowledge. No, we're not just talking about some religion, but everything. Everything in the world can be explained according to the Vedic knowledge. In Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Harinama Sankirtana. And generally, people think that this is simply some sentiment. Well, it is sentiment, divine sentiment. But there is the whole complete understanding of Vedic knowledge behind it. So we request you all to try to understand this Vedic knowledge. One friend of mine, god brother, devotee, he was a great scientist and great devotee. He's passed away now. He was from America. He wrote many important books, such as, you're going to have a hard time translating this, Demonstration by Information Theory that Life Cannot Arise from Matter. Yeah, Information Theory, you could translate it, but probably in Canada people would say Information Theory, like that. Another major important book he co-authored was this, what's that, Forbidden Archaeology? A huge book in which he showed that how evidence for life, civilized life on this planet, or evidence that this has been going on for millions of years, there's tremendous evidence for it, but whenever it's found by archaeologists, it's put back and they hope it's not discovered for another few million years. It's covered up. It's a cover up. This Ramayana in Canada has been released today. Lord Ramachandra was present in this land of Bharat Bhumi some millions of years ago. In Treta Yuga, but not the Treta Yuga. Now it's Kali Yuga, before that was Dwapara Yuga, before that was Treta Yuga, but not this Treta Yuga. Way, because before that was Satya Yuga, before that was Kali Yuga. It's many cycles ago he appeared. So that doesn't fit with modern evolutionary theory. So how do we understand this? What's the samanvaya? How do we put this together? The answer is, there is no samanvaya. It's the evolutionary theory is bogus.
ಈಗ ಆಧುನಿಕ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಿಕ ಇದು ಏನು ಹೇಳಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಅದು ಶುದ್ಧ ಸುಳ್ಳು ಅಂತ.
So anyway, I was saying that I was discussing with this devotee once who brought out tremendous scientific evidence supporting all the Vedic theories. So I met him in India once. He was mostly in America. And his observation was that Indian people, pious Hindus, they believe in science and they believe in Rama and Krishna also, everything. They believe both things. He said that when they're at their work, maybe they're teaching in a college or they have some IT job or something like that, then they believe in science and evolution and all this kind of thing. Actually, that was in the days before IT companies. But anyway, when they go to the temple, they turn that off and they turn on the Krishna Bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the knowledge by which we can understand science and Krishna Bhakti, and there's no turning off one or the other. They both come together perfectly. But we'll have to accept that the what goes on in the name of modern science, they've made some serious mistakes. And the major mistake is, as described in Bhagavad Gita, asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam, that they think that there's no ultimate principle to this universe. There's no God in control. Aparaspara sambhutam means, you could translate it as meaning that, well, everything came into being, there's no real reason for it. There's no connected cause. It's upper, it just, that's what they say. So that's science, that there was nothing and then nothing exploded. And then here we all are today. And it exploded and it all settled down in such a perfect way that all the laws of physics, all the laws of the universe, they're all perfectly in order. Just no reason for it, it just happened like that. This is not science. It's foolishness, actually. If we have to give a name to it, it's foolishness. Where's that steel dabba? I always use that as an exhibit to demonstrate this point. Where is it? You got it here? Okay. Where do you think I got this from? Probably from a shop in Bangalore or anywhere in India, right? Nothing controversial about that. No, well, actually what happened was there was a big storm one day and there was a pile of garbage at the backyard, some metal scraps, and it all blew together, and I saw it all blew together, came just like this. You don't believe me? Why not? Why not? If there are enough storms in the history of the universe, then one time it should happen. That's what they say, that, well, if there are enough explosions, and then sometime we're all going to come like this. But even a simple thing like this, we understand that a lot of intelligence and endeavor went into making it. It didn't just come by chance. And even if we take one mosquito, it's incomparably more complex than this little steel dhaba. And there are one mosquito, and there are millions and billions and trillions of mosquitoes. And so many different living beings, and the oceans, and different planets, and it's all going on maya dhyakshena prakriti, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It's all going on by my direction. It's not by chance. This is a very foolish idea. So Srila Prabhupada, he fearlessly challenged all the big scientists in the Western world. Because he knew that he had actual knowledge. That knowledge is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So we request you all to take up, to understand this knowledge. Simply to say, well, I'm a Hindu and I believe that we'll get born again, this won't help us very much. In Gita, Krishna also says, Utkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam vagunandita vimura nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. He says that people who do not know how the living beings, the jivas, are getting different bodies one after the other and getting different situations according to the three modes of material nature, those who cannot see this and understand this, they are called vimura, or very foolish persons. So Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. Those can see and understand all these points if they see through the eye of jnana, knowledge. So Bhagavad Gita is that knowledge by which we can understand the things that we really need to understand. The most important thing we need to understand is that we are suffering in this material world, birth after birth. But we are meant for eternal blissful life with Krishna in the spiritual world. So we should live this life in a manner that we don't get born again. This is actual intelligence. And to not pursue this, this is craziness. Remember this, the people were calling the devotees crazy, but those who are not devotees of Krishna, they are crazy. So, please take up this Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna. And understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, the actual teachings. And in this way, utilize your valuable human life so that you don't get born again. So thank you very much for so patiently listening to me. And if anyone would like to raise any point or make any question, please do so now. Yes, please. How did I come into this whole thing? I was feeling very much unwhole, incomplete. It's a long story, but in brief, Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he picked me up from this miserable life and gave me the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. I could see there's nothing in this world. What is there in this life? There's nothing of any value. I felt like I was in a factory on this production line. Go to school, next you go to university, next you get a job, just miserable life. I could see all around me that everyone, they have cars, houses, enough money and all these things, but no one's happy. So I thought, then why should I do the same? I'm expected to do what they're doing, but no one's happy by doing that, so why should I do it? So I thought of everything I could do in the world, and I couldn't think of anything which made any sense. Nothing seemed to make any sense. What's the point of it all? And still I feel like that. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada gave me the knowledge by which I could understand that yes, this material world, there's nothing of any value here, but our real life is with Krishna in the spiritual world. I became convinced of this when I first met the devotees of Krishna in England, where I was born this time around. When I visited their temple, it was very cold, snowing outside. But there was no money, so they didn't have any heating. It was very cold inside. And they only had very simple food. I stayed overnight, and they got me up very early in the morning. I never imagined getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I could see that even though they're living what is called a Spartan life, or a lot of tapasya, in the first time in my life, I saw really happy people, clear from their faces and their eyes and everything about them. At 4 o'clock in the morning, they take a cold shower in the cold winter. And it's, if you think Bangalore is cold, then please don't go to England. And 4:30 in the morning, they're having kirtan and arati and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. And And I thought, they do this every day. So this is real spiritual life. They're experiencing real happiness. Otherwise, why would they do this? And almost every morning, I myself think that I'm so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he gave me this life. What a beautiful way to start every day, singing and dancing and reciting the Maha Mantra. How unfortunate the people are. They like to sleep through the whole Brahma Muhurta and waste their life. We have the best life, and no doubt about it. What do you think? Mangalati every morning. What a tremendous way to start the day. Singing, dancing, beautiful prayers, arati. Those who have not experienced the happiness of Krishna Bhakti, their life is just without any real value. What do you think, Chitta Haridas? You were a software engineer in Bangalore for so many years. This is Chitta Haridas. Then he became crazy. No, actually he wanted just some family obligation, but so many years. But now every morning he's living in an ashram in Salem in Tamil Nadu. No electricity. I told them, no electricity. And they come together every morning, and the young boys are there also. And beautiful Mangalati, beautiful singing and dancing. It's divine. It's experienceable as divine. Pratyaksha bhagamang dharmyam susukam kartanavyayam. So you ask how I came into this thing. Others also ask, how long have you been in this? So now I have to say almost 40 years now. So then they'll say, well, are you happy? And my reply will be, was, if I'm not happy, then what am I doing? I can also, I guess I'm a bit late for an IT job, but I could probably, I speak pretty good Hindi, I could probably get a job in Bollywood as an actor. It'd be some, you know, whitey speaking Hindi, I could probably do good, Bengali. I don't like to think about it, but probably, there's no question of it actually, but I could leave this and put on some pantan shirt and do something else, but whatever happens, Krishna protect me. I have no interest in doing anything except serving Srila Prabhupada. It's not without its challenges. Life in this material world is tough, especially in Kali Yuga. But by the grace of Krishna, once we come to Krishna's lotus feet, he doesn't let us go very easily. And we don't like to go either. So be careful. If you want to get born again and again and again, you better get out of here quickly. Don't listen to all this talk. You'll go crazy. The best thing that could happen in your life is if everyone calls you crazy. Of course, there are different kinds of crazy. There's real crazy, but Krishna bhakti crazy, that's very, then you're most fortunate. Just like in Canada, there are so many beautiful songs which I can't appreciate because I don't know the language, in praise of Krishna. We just heard this morning, what is that, Krishna is like the sugar and Ram is like the payasam. Oh. So many nice songs are there.
Rama nama, payasam ke Krishna nama.
Sakala.
Sakala, Krishna nama sakala. So that
was a song by Purandara. So in similarly in Bengali there are many beautiful songs. I learned some of them because I learned Bengali. So one of our Vaishnava acharyas has sung in Bengali, Bishoye amare pagala balaya ongete dibe kadhuli. He's saying that my greatest fortune of life will be when the Vishayi, the materialistic persons, will call me pagal, crazy, and throw dirt and dust on me. Then I know, yes. Now my life is successful. So you may think this is a very strange religion. People come to Balaji temple and they pray that give me some money and let my children pass their exam and all this kind of thing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us to pray na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaya, mava janmani janmanishra, bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitwa. So standing in the queue, Balaji, you come before Balaji. Yes, Balaji, what do you want? Balaji, what do you want? I don't want dhanam. You don't want dhanam? Najanam, najanam. So what do you want to be? You want to be a political leader? No, najanam. You want a beautiful wife? No. Nasundari. Kavitam vaja. Do you want to be a big pundit? No, don't want that. Oh, yeah, you don't want anything in this world, so you want mukti. Oh, very unusual person. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, I don't want that either. He says, even if I'm born again and again and again, I only want to serve your lotus feet. That's all. And then Balaji will say, thank you very much. I was waiting for you. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya yatatam api siddha kaschid mangveti tatvata. Millions and millions of people will go to Balaji and ask him for all kinds of useless things. Someone may come and ask for some moksha. And someone even more rare, they will ask, "What I don't want any of these things, please let me just be your servant." That I was quoting that Bengali Vaishnava Acharya, so Bhaktivinoda, his name is Bhaktivinoda. Hari Leela Ek Matro Jaha Pramod. Prem Bhakti was saying this. Whose only vinod, his only pramod, his only pleasure is Hari Leela. So he also prayed, Kita janma hao jatha tuadas, bahimokka brahma janme nahi mora as. He said that I would rather be born as some kit, little insect, rather than be born as some big Brahma. If I'm a little insect and I'm your devotee, that is a better position than being a Brahma and not being a devotee of Krishna. There are so many. Kaivalyam Narakayate, Tridashapur, Akasha Pushpaita. This. The idea of moksha, we'll think, oh, horrible. Ooh. The idea of getting moksha and going, they call Brahmalin, merging into some Brahma Jyoti. Horrible idea, because there's no Krishna Seva.
Brahma Jyoti moksha, Krishna.
Or the idea of going to Swarga, just some phantasmagoria, meaningless. So those who have got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they feel like this. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, some little touch of that mercy of, I cannot deny that. Some touch of that mercy has come on me also. So again, in brief, the answer is Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, japa mari. Hare Krishna, kirtana mari.
Very seriously.
Tumma pranayama mari.
There are certain things we have to. Certain things bind us in this material world. And certain things will release us from this world. The process for getting completely free from this world is Krishna bhakti. There is a process we have to undergo of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all these things. There is one booklet here, Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, which gives all the basic things that we have to do to practice Krishna Bhakti so that we don't get born again. So, we have it in Canada? Out of print. Okay. She can read it.
Okay, yes, yes.
It is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. You said that? Every one of us here, we've been, how many births have we taken? We cannot say. Now, if we take up this chanting of Hare Krishna very seriously, we can finish this. Finished. No more birth. We can go to Krishna in the spiritual world for eternal blissful life. This is a fact. This is not just some sentimental belief. So please take it very seriously. You should also take contacts if people are interested. Right? Because one main important point is sadhu sangha.
ಇನ್ನೊಂದಂದ್ರೆ ನೀವು ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ಭಕ್ತರ ಸಂಪರ್ಕದಲ್ಲಿ ಇರಬೇಕು, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಕ್ತರಿಗೆ ಬರೆಯೋ ಸಾಧು ಸಂಘದಲ್ಲಿ ಇರಬೇಕು. ನಿಮ್ಗೆ ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ಯಾರೆಲ್ಲ ಆಸಕ್ತಿ ಇದೆ ಈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ತಿಳ್ಕೊಳ್ಳಿಕ್ಕೆ, ದಯವಿಟ್ಟು ಹೊರಗಡೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ವಿಳಾಸ ಮತ್ತೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮ ಫೋನ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಡಿ, ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೆಸರು ಫೋನ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಡಿ, ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಏಕೆಂದ್ರೆ ಹಿಂದಿನ ಒಂದು ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ನಿಂತಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಒಡಿಶಾದಲ್ಲಿ, ಅವರಿಗೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೆಸರು ಮತ್ತು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಫೋನ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಡಿ, ನಾನು ಸಂಪರ್ಕಿಸ್ತೇನೆ.
Do we have prasad to distribute? Yeah. So tell those who are leaving, they should take prasad and also. Yeah, I think we should finish because people, traffic jams in Bangalore. Sunday night. The material world is full of misery and now there are more miseries. Traffic jam is a modern misery. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi traffic jam. Okay. Hare Krishna.